Let's turn to the Word of God in Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Tonight I take over the place of Pastor Paul, because Pastor Paul is ill, not feeling well. So pray for him. Psalm 86, we shall read this responsively. And I shall begin. To the chief musician, teach me thy way, O Lord, a prayer of David. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O Lord my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of my servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any words like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things, thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, thou art arisen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me, give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid together. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father in heaven, we plead for thy Holy Spirit to teach us thy truth out of thy word, and help us to obey thee. Through Jesus Christ, our gracious Lord, we pray. Amen. Psalm 86, it's a prayer of David. And this particular psalm is a combination of many, many situations in David's life. And therefore, many commentators would say that this prayer here is the mosaic of the many prayers and many experiences that David has gone through, and which draws him closer to the Lord. So in Psalm 86, a prayer of David, it could also be called a call upon God. David calling upon God. So today I'm just going to share three lessons that can be gleaned out of these 17 verses. And the three lessons that we can learn, it also starts with C, this being the call of God of David. And it starts with C. The first one is closeness. The second one is clarity. And the third one is care of God. So closeness, clarity, and care. And as I meditate on this psalm, these spring forth as the lessons that are pertinent to me. And of course, there are many, many other applications, but suffice for us tonight to just dwell on these three: closeness, the clarity, and the care. Closeness. Closeness to whom? It's David being very close to his God. And who is David's God? He's our God. And David in this particular psalm addressed God in a marvelous way, in different ways, in different perspectives, in different areas that he sees God. So first of all, we see in verse 1, he said, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me." David is so close to God, and who is this God that he is addressing to? He's saying, "O Lord," capital L-O-R-D, which is the covenantal God of Israel, Yahweh, which is the God who said, "I am that I am." So here David is so close to this God who is the covenantal God of Israel, the Almighty God, that he said that, "Bow down thine ear." It is not an utterance of pride, but it is an utterance of the closeness to God. That is, "God, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and I'm needy." And David acknowledged to this Almighty God, who is our God, that he is poor. Not that David is materially poor, but spiritually poor, spiritually in need. And if only we are as close as David to our God, we would also say the same, that we are poor spiritually. And then when we come to prayer meeting, and when we have our own prayer, we will come to God and realize that, "God, I am spiritually poor, and I need to come before you because I am needy." A person who does not have need will not ask, will not call for help. But a person who is needy will call for help. And especially so, we can see that David is so close to God that he knew that his utterance, his call upon God, call upon the covenantal God of Israel, is such a wonderful relationship of that closeness. And this closeness is not that David creates on his own. It's a closeness that God is the one who established it. And how? God is the one who saved David. And David could see his Lord God Almighty, his Lord Jesus Christ, foreshadowed in years ahead. But for us, we see by faith, our Lord Jesus Christ died for us about 2,000 years ago. So David sees forward, and we see backward to our Lord. So it is a closeness, a relationship that is established by God and not by David. And David knew that, and that's why he came before God with a heart of humility, with a heart of needing, being very needy, and admit that he's spiritually poor. And also he addressed God in the second verse in a different perspective now. He said, verse 2, "Preserve my soul," that's my life, "preserve my life, preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee." When David uttered, "O thou my God," David is addressing God as the God of gods, the Almighty God of gods. All the Baal, all the Ashtoreth, all the other idols of the world, how can they match against my God? My God is the God of gods. In other words, he is having this close relationship with the God of gods, who is Elohim. And here he said that, "Preserve my soul, for I am holy." That closeness, as I've mentioned just now, is not established by David himself, but this holiness, this set apart in God's sight, is established by God. It's not by David. And that's why David could come before God and say, "Preserve my soul, for I am holy, for I am set apart for I'm sanctified. Not because David is sinless, he can't be. And not because we are sinless, therefore it can't be. So when we come before God, we say that, thank you, God, and preserve our souls, for we are holy. And listen to our prayers, hear my prayer, hear my call, God of gods, Elohim. And that closeness, that being established, also need this nurturing. And nurturing is when David realized that he is needy. When David realized that he needs to trust in God. He cannot trust in himself. He needs to be saved by God. He cannot be saved by himself. He could have probably remembered the times when he was running away from enemies, whether it's from King Saul, or whether it's from his own son Absalom, or whether it's from other enemies that may come after him. So, it's a preserve my life. And David has fought with Goliath and won against Goliath, but David was so keenly sure that that victory was not his own. That victory was God's victory. And that's why when it came to the time that he needed God's help, he can't be proud to say that when I kill Goliath, I can also kill my own other problem, I can kill my enemies. But it's to preserve my soul, the humility, and that closeness with God, and understanding who God is, that is the I Am covenantal God, and the God of gods, Elohim, that brought David to this prayer to say that, preserve my soul, and save thy servant that trusteth in thee. And then in verse 3, David again used another term for God, the closeness with God that he has experienced. And he addressed God in a different way. He said, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. This O Lord is capital L and small letter O-R-D. And this is God Adonai. It's God's master. See, David is the servant. Lord Adonai, you're my master. So be merciful unto me, O Adonai, O master, for I cry unto thee daily. David is a king, and yet he understands that he is but a servant unto God Adonai, master. So this closeness in relationship that was established by God and nurtured along the way, because David himself was humble and David himself was needy, and that's why he could understand God and come before God and say that, thou art my great God, the great I Am, the great God of gods, and the great master. And so with this, three verses of coming before God, we must learn from David about that closeness. And we learn from him that David has needs. Even our Lord Jesus Christ prayed to his Father in heaven while he was on earth. And therefore we ourselves should pray. Because if we don't pray, that means that we do not have need of God. Which means that, God, I really think I don't need you, and that's why I don't ask you to help me or to bless me, because I can solve things on my own. If that is the case, then we're nurturing a wrong perspective of our Christian life and our Christian walk with God. So David here set a good example, closeness, the first C, and that relationship with God. And we go on to verse 4. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. Bless the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Master, O Lord, O Adonai, do I lift up my soul. And David again acknowledged that he needs to be blessed. For thou, verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. In verse 5, we can see that David, not only being very close to God, he has great clarity, or a second C, he has great clarity of who his God is and who our God is. Our God, David's God, is good. So in accordance with his will, in accordance with his sovereign plan of the world, in our lives, in whatever that we do, it is good. God will not do us bad. God will do us good. So the clarity of the will of God is in David. When he prays to God, when he communes with God, the second C of clarity is very evident. Say, for thou, Lord, art good. And not only good in all his will for us, he's ready to forgive. Because that clarity to know that we are all sinners, but saved by grace. And we are, David is a sinner, we are a sinner, and this God, whom we need to be close with, is ready to forgive. And not only ready to forgive, it's plenteous in mercy. Plenteous in mercy. So mercy is something that we really deserve a punishment, but God withheld it from us. And the greatest mercy is when we see salvation in the Lord, when we deserve hellfire, because we sin against God and we crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, God is plenteous in mercy. The wrath of God was placed on our Lord Jesus Christ. And his robe of righteousness has been given to us. And we put on the Lord Jesus Christ's robe of righteousness. And what kind of robe do we have? That filthy, horrible, sinful, dirty robe. And our robe was given to Jesus Christ. And what an exchange that is. And David understands it. David has this clarity. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee, not only a few, but all. So which means that all of us, when we call upon God, God is plenteous in mercy. But first we need to come close to God with that heart of humility, needing God. And verse 6 is almost like a replay of verse 1. When verse 1 says, bow down thine ear, it is almost as if it's an action of God hearing David. And then David said, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. And here we know that David understands not only the closeness of God, not only the clarity of God, he understands that God cares. And that's our last C. Care. He understands that God cares for him. And that's why he dared to say that, give ear, verse 6, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. Why? Because David has experienced God's care in many a time. And in this particular time, he said that in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. He knew God will care. Does Jesus care? Oh yes, he cares. Why would he care? It is because that closeness was established by God and not by man. And God giving us salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is sealed by his Holy Spirit which lives in us. And therefore, if we have trouble, we call upon God in accordance with God's will with that clarity, God will answer us. God will answer us not because we ask God to, but because when we pray, our will has then been aligned to God's will. And when David's will is aligned with God's will, God's bountiful blessings come upon David, and likewise for us. So in the day of my trouble, verse 7, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Verse 8, among the gods there is none like unto thee. Certainly there are many gods of the world, small g, none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. And the innumerable number of stars in the universe, and God just by word say it into existence in Genesis. And that's how great the work of God is. And verse 9, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. And David knew that God, though many other people, Gentiles, unbelievers, others who embrace other gods, may not view that this is the great covenantal God, this is the great God of gods, or this is the great Adonai, but David knew and had great clarity that one day, verse 9, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and not only that, shall glorify thy name. And that day will come, as we have been following the series of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 11, and my time is almost up, that's quite fast. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. This is, O Master, teach me thy way. With that closeness, with that clarity and understanding that God cares for him, he said, teach me thy way. Why teach me thy way? Because David's way, our way, is a selfish way. But when God teaches us his way, it is according to his will. And his will is always for us to manifest the love of God. And it's all enshrined in 1 Corinthians 13 on how to love, the agape love. So teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name, to honor, to revere God, and to live out God's work in our lives. Verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. And here, David used, O Lord my God. It's a very personal address. It's my L-E-L. It's my God. It is not only my God, God's Elohim, and or O Master, or O Covenantal God, but it is my El, my God. And here it is out of the closeness and the clarity and the care that he has experienced with the Lord. He said that I will praise thee, verse 12, O Lord, my God. With all my heart, I will glorify thy name forevermore. And therefore, when we come to prayer and prayer meeting, when we pray in our own closet, remind ourselves of how David prayed and how we should also come before the Lord. And David again repeated verse 13, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. And suddenly David has gone through times, difficult times, that it's so difficult for David to express, that he just said that it is from the lowest hell. And sometimes we go through very, very difficult moments, which nobody seemed to fully understand, but our God understands, and he said, thank God for that. And verse 14, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. So in the prayer towards God, it is good that we emulate David's example. Not only that closeness and the clarity of his will and the care of, that God has given him, but also to acknowledge God's attributes. And here, acknowledge God's attributes of compassion, attributes of graciousness, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. And so sometimes when we run out of words to say, run out of words to pray, sometimes you can just flip open a psalm and you can just pray the psalm as your own prayer to God. And verse 16, O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Verse 17, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. Basically, David said that, let God be so real in my life that any others who do not know God will see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ emanating from us. And so that when others looking at us, they will see Jesus in us. They will see the reality of God in us. Not only spoken, but in action. And therefore, when we reach out to our friends, even whether we want to consciously reach out or not, our friends, our relatives, our brothers and sisters, our parents who may not know Christ, our colleagues, they are reading us like an open book. And they see how we react to situations, and they will see how real our God is. And here, David in his prayer, that God definitely is so close to him, so real to him, and the clarity that God has given him in accordance with God's will, and the care that God will give to him as the servant of God, as a child of God, as a beloved of God. Likewise, we can live out that prayer which David prayed in our own lives. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father in heaven, thank and praise thee that out of thy word, written by thy servant David, that we have been instructed by thy Holy Spirit. So help us, Lord, to live out thy word in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our precious Lord, we pray. Amen.